Welcome back to Psukei Daf. We are on Brachos Daf Mem Gimel. On this Daf, we have six Psukim which are quoted. We're going to be focusing on the Pasuk in Yehoshua, Perek Beis, Pasuk Vav. It reads as follows: Vihi he'elosam ha'gaga, v'titmenem b'pishtei ha'etz ha'ruchos la al ha'gag. She'd taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax which she had lying on the roof. The Gemara on Brachos Daf Mem Gimel on Beis uses this Pasuk in the name of Gidol Amarav to Darshan. It's actually talking about jasmine, simlak, and then it goes on to Rav Chanan el Omar Rav, who talks about the idea of Hane Chilfe Diyama. When he's talking about a certain type of plant which grows next near the sea, and he says, you say the bracha of Bari Atzei V'Shamim to that. And Marizutra supports this by saying this pasuk, because it describes this plant as pishtei ha'etz. Even the stalks are considered the tree itself. Now, just the context of this, what actually is going on, this occurs in the second parak of Sefer Yehoshua, and this is when Yehoshua and Bnei Israel are on Transjordan. They're on the east bank of the Jordan. Moshe Rabbeinu has just died, and they are about to enter the land of Israel. Yehoshua makes a remarkable decision in which he decides to send Meraglim, which is funny because Yehoshua was one of the Meraglim in the very ill-fated Meraglim episode in the Torah itself in Parshas Shlach. So you would imagine that this is the one thing Yehoshua should not be doing. Nonetheless, all the Mepharshim deal with this. The Malbim has a lengthy essay at the beginning of the Perek to describe that there are different types of Meraglim. The type of Meraglim that Yehoshua was sending was really essentially military reconnaissance. He just wanted to know how to conquer the city of Yericho. Whereas the spies that Moshe Rabbeinu was sent at the behest of the people were really to try to see, should we enter or not? Is it too dangerous? Is it not? And therefore the focus was actually incorrect. Whereas Yehoshua knew this, and that's why it wasn't sent with a pomp and ceremony. There weren't a lot of people. There were just two people. Get in, get out, and give us the information. And so he sends two people, and the Chazal tell us that they were Kalev and Pinchas. So Kalev was on his second round of spies, so clearly he was going to be immune to the problems that occurred the first time. And Pinchas, of course, was one of the leaders at this point in time. So we're told that they enter the city of Yericho, they make their way in, and the news gets out that they are at large. So the security forces of the city are trying to find them, and they enter the house of Rachav Hazona. Rachav is either a prostitute or an innkeeper, and she brings them in. They want to get the information of what's going on, and just as they get in, they are found out. The news breaks, and it says actually two psukim before the pasuk that's quoted in the Gemara. She took the two people and she hid him away. She says, I don't know where they went. And then it describes again that she takes them up to the roof and hides them. So a few things to think about in terms of the context over here. Number one is that it talks about her hiding them twice. So why is that? Is it referring to the same action within the span of two psukim? And number two is in the first pasuk, which was just two psukim back, it says she hids him. In this pasuk that's quoted in the Gemara, it says, "Vatitz b'neim," she hid them. What's going on over here? So Barbanel explains that what's going on is that there were two stages. She hears the knocks on the door. She's under immense stress. She knows that her guests are refugees from the security forces. So she hides each of them in different rooms. She says, you go there, you go there. So at least if one of them is found, the other one will be safe. And so that's why it says, Vatitz b'noi, she hid each one in a separate room. Once she diverted the security forces to the gate, then she brings them up to the roof and puts them both under the flax to be able to hide them in case they return. So there's two sequential stages over here. However, Barbanel quotes the very famous Chazal, that the reason why it says Atitz B'noi, she hid him, was because in fact one of them did not require hiding. And that one was Pinchas, who because of his angelic properties, he was a human being who had perfected himself to such a degree, therefore, when he stood there, he was able to be invisible to human sight because he was above the physical senses, and therefore it was only Kalev who required hiding. As a fascinating footnote to this, the Kedushas Levi explains a very beautiful thing, and that is that unlike many other nations, then the Canaanite, the seven nations of the land of Canaan, were really slated for destruction. They'd been so destructive to themselves, they'd led such corrupt lifestyles that there was very little to take out of them, which is why unlike other nations where the nation of Israel has interaction with them, something, some Kedusha can be exhumed, some Kedusha can be extracted. The nations of Canaan, Lo Yisachaya Kol Neshama, the Mitzvah tells us that there's nothing to be left of them, there's nothing that can be extracted. There are a few exceptions here and there, and one of them is Rachav, who is a Canaanite, but she is extracted. There's something good about her which can be extracted and adapted for the nation of Israel. And therefore, says the Kedushas Levi, the Berditshuva, he says a very beautiful thing, and he says, that's why, because she was able to be extracted, she hid him, so to speak. There was something in her which came out that Kalev was able to extract, unlike most of the other Canaanites. Just a very fascinating idea as why this relates to the way she hid him, metaphysically describing the extraction process of Kedusha, which could still come out. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.